Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, January 22, 2025, 2 Corinthians.
All right, before we get started, we have a birthday today. Now, we have a misnomer here, though. It says, happy birthday, little Jer. Well, there's little Jer. That's his dad. That's big Jer. But it's big Jer's birthday. Happy birthday. And the Cahoon family has been here from the get-go. Consistent, faithful. Upland Bible Church has been greatly blessed by the Cahoon family. It's an honor to have you here in the congregation all these many, many years. Mr. Jerry Sr., Irene, Blessing, E. Miley, Shelby, and the birthday boy. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We are in the last paragraph of this chapter, very, very important. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 to 18. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 18, the last paragraph of this chapter, the Apostle Paul is now teaching about the doctrine of separation. Very important doctrine in the Word of God. Not understood by most Christians, but you will understand it by the time we get through this paragraph. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 starts out in the King James. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And the key word here in verse 14 is heterozugeo. That's the key word. Looks like that. Oop, got to put the H in there. H-E-T-E-R-O-Z-U-G-E long O. Hetero zugeo, a hapax legomenon. This is the only time that this verb is found in the New Testament scriptures. It's not found in the Septuagint or other Greek versions of the Old Testament, including the Apocrypha. It is not found in Greek writers before the Christian era. Heterozugeo is a compound word made up of heteros, which means another of a different kind. Another of a different kind. Allos is another of the same kind. This is heteros. Another of a different kind, plus zugos, which means yoke. It was used in the ancient world of trying to yoke together an ox with a donkey in order to plow the field. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 10 declares, "Do not plow with an ox and a donkey yoked together." Deuteronomy 22, verse 10. When you yoke together an ox and a donkey, the two simply do not work well together. You're going nowhere. If you are an ox, you can't pull a plow when you're yoked with a donkey. And if you're a donkey, do we have any donkeys in here? You can't pull a plow when you are yoked together with an ox. Now, the believer in Jesus Christ is given this prohibition. Stop being yoked together with unbelievers, or do not be yoked together with unbelievers. And the word for unbeliever is apistos, made up of the alpha privative no and pistis faith. It literally means no faith. It is specifically used of the unbeliever in the Word of God, the one who has no faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. So, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. And with the present imperative, stop being yoked together with unbelievers. And this was going on many times among the believers in Corinth. And so then we asked the question, well, how are you yoked together with unbelievers? Well, it can be marriage. And there is nothing in the Bible that says that a believer should marry an unbeliever. Nowhere. And as I mentioned last week, I refuse to do any weddings where one person is a believer and one is an unbeliever. So there's nothing in the Bible that condones a marriage between a believer and an unbeliever. In business, if your business or business partner causes you to compromise the Word of God or drags you into the cosmic system, then this applies there. Separation has to take place. Intimate personal relationships, social life. If that causes you to compromise Bible doctrine, drag you into the cosmic system, then there needs to be separation. Religion. And that includes false gospels, false teachers, idolatry, salvation by works. That can lead to you being enslaved in the cosmic system. 2 Corinthians 6:14 does not exclude total contact with unbelievers, because if you're going to fulfill that, you would have to be an astronaut and I think President Trump said he's going to put people on Mars. You need to go there. 2 Corinthians 6:14, our verse, demands that your contact with people in no way compromises the God-breathed scriptures. It demands that in no way it hinders you from living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. that it in no way hinders you from spiritual momentum or spiritual growth, so that you can advance to maturity and glorify God to the maximum. Well, that brought us to the doctrine of separation, and we have studied point one, which is definition and description, and we just barely got started on point two. The doctrine of separation, point one, definition and description. Separation is the application of the God-breathed scriptures that you have learned and believed, and now it is in your heart. In your heart. Epinosis doctrine in your heart. That means you can apply it now. Only the word of God that you believe can you apply. It is the application of metabolized doctrine in your heart. And therefore, it is the application of epinosis doctrine in your heart. Separation is the technique, includes the technique of switching from personal love to impersonal love when dealing with friends or loved ones who are living in the cosmic system. That's one category, mental separation. And very important. Now, that mental separation, switching from personal love to impersonal love, that is a wonderful principle in the Word of God for separation, but it's impossible if you don't have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. If you haven't grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, if you haven't attained spiritual maturity, if you don't have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, then you will never be able to apply the principle of mental separation. I'll tell you what you wind up doing. You wind up getting involved in mental attitude sins, and you judge, malign, slander the other person. But you don't. If you had virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you would never judge, malign, or slander that person living in the cosmic system. These loved ones, these friends that are living in the cosmic system and even hate you, and they think, what are you involved with? You must be involved in a cult. How many times do you go to church? My gosh, you go that many times to church? You're in a cult. But if you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, why, you love them with impersonal love for all. You love them with honor. You love them with virtue. You love them with integrity. But you separate mentally. There's no way you're going to let them distract you from God, from the Word of God, from your spiritual life, and glorifying God to the maximum. So, when you have loved one and friends living in the cosmic system, they attack you, they tell you you're wrong and all these things, try to distract you away from it, you just love them. You go from personal love to impersonal love. And you love them with that fantastic impersonal love for all. And that's a great, great system of separation, mental separation. So separation is also the technique of switching from personal love to impersonal love when dealing with friends or loved ones who are living in the cosmic system. That is mental separation. Until you have established doctrinal priorities from metabolized doctrine in your heart, you cannot make a correct decision about separation. And there's a lot of believers that are right there. They cannot make the correct decision about separation because they have no impersonal love for all. Separation involves both establishing doctrinal priorities of life and separation from distractions to your spiritual momentum and spiritual growth. And separation has two connotations. First of all, you separate to something or someone. And secondly, you separate away from. So separation is to, and it's separation away from. Separation unto is to the Word of God. You separate to the Word of God. And what does that involve, separating to the Word of God? Well, you are consistent in faith. First of all, you find a sound Bible teaching church. And then you're consistent and faithful to assemble in that sound Bible teaching church, to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You don't let anything, anyone, distract you away from that. You separate to the Word of God. Consistent and faithful metabolization of doctrine and living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. You also separate to God. You separate to God. The living and true God, you love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He is your most important love. Not people, not friends, not loved ones. Your most important love is the living and true God. And you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You separate to God. Separate to occupation with Christ. Separation unto is the basis for establishing doctrinal priorities in your life. Now, separation away from should be applied to both believers and unbelievers living in the cosmic system who try to influence you and distract you away from Bible doctrine and away from the spiritual life. That's separation away from. That was point one. And point two, we just got started. There are two categories of separation from people, mental separation and physical separation. And we just got started with mental separation. Point one, under mental separation, in mental separation, there is antagonism from those living in the cosmic system toward you. There is antagonism from those, either believers or unbelievers, loved ones, friends, living in the cosmic system. They have antagonism and maybe even hatred toward you. Now, you are protected from this. You're protected from becoming antagonistic back toward them. How? By impersonal love for all. You have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. That great motivational virtue of personal love for God the Father motivates you to have impersonal love for your loved ones, friends living in the cosmic system who attack you, hate you, antagonistic toward you. You love them with virtue, honor, integrity, and glorify God. And you avoid all mental attitude sin. You never, with virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you never return with mental attitude sins toward them. And if you do have mental attitude sins toward them, then you do not have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Because when that happens, mental attitude sin, there are a lot of sins that you'll still commit, but those are the worst of all the sins. Mental attitude sins of judging, slandering, maligning. And when you get involved in that, you come under triple compound divine discipline. But virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you will never, ever go there. And you will operate. Well, we had some family here. They're now on the getting the classes, or living in Texas, but they're still getting the classes. And when they were living here in Las Vegas, they were working at one of the casinos, and one of the ladies, she's just an absolute doll of a lady working in the casino, and And she'd come up to me and say, Pastor Olson, she says, boy, it's so fun to learn about the spiritual life and the virtue love brought to completion in your heart. She says, in the casino, I get all these people with a horrible mental attitude, and they call someone over and start chewing, this is broken, this doesn't work, and this, and pointing finger. And she says, I just smile a big smile at him and say, oh, sweetie, not to worry. We got her all taken. And they just kind of, you couldn't get upset with this gal. She killed you with kindness. Kindness and a beautiful smile and honor and virtue and integrity. Well, that's something that the world just doesn't see. But that's what you need to have. So you're protected from becoming antagonistic back toward them by your impersonal love for all. Point two, when certain loved ones or friends become involved in the cosmic system, well, now you have a choice. You can make the bad decision to follow them, or you can have mental separation. Mental separation. Switch from personal love to impersonal love. And the Lord Jesus Christ called this taking up your cross and following me. And that was where we ended last time, and that's where we're going to start tonight. Turn over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. The Lord Jesus Christ is giving a great Bible class. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. And then he explains, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. You see, if you're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, the most important love in your life is the living and true God, Jesus Christ. And you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that's number one. When that's number one, you will never be distracted in the cosmic system. And you will love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you will love all the rest, all your loved ones and friends and people living in the cosmic system, you will love them with impersonal love for all. But that will no way, never distract you away from God and the Word of God. Never. Because Jesus Christ is your most important love. Point three. The influence of those in the cosmic system many times is so great on the believer that he is tempted to join with them in the cosmic system. The influence of those in the cosmic system is sometimes so great on the believer that he's tempted to join them in the cosmic system. Four, to avoid this negative influence, the believer maintains his correct priorities, doctrinal priorities, by mental separation. He simply switches from personal love to impersonal love for all. To avoid this negative influence, the believer maintains his doctrinal priorities, true priorities, by mental separation and switching from personal love to impersonal love for all. Mental separation through impersonal love for all puts the spotlight on integrity and virtue and honor and doctrinal application of the believer living the spiritual life. Mental separation through impersonal love for all puts the spotlight on integrity and virtue and honor of the mature believer doing the loving of impersonal love and doctrinal application of the believer living the spiritual life. And once you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, then impersonal love for all is not influenced by those loved ones who are living in the cosmic system. Once you have impersonal love for all, that's not influenced. Impersonal love is not influenced by those loved ones who are living in the cosmic system, who are in reversionism, who are antagonistic to the Word of God. Impersonal love for all is not influenced by those loved ones who are living in the cosmic system or who are in reversionism and antagonistic to the Word of God. Seven, impersonal love functions on great integrity, virtue, honor, and perpetuates doctrinal priorities, true priorities from the Word of God in your heart. Impersonal love functions on its own great integrity, virtue, honor, and perpetuates true priorities, doctrinal priorities that you have developed from maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. I'm going to go to eight here, priest, but Mr. Gary's still riding over here. Okay. Eight. Impersonal love emphasizes personal love for God and occupation with Jesus Christ while setting aside the functions of personal love for friends or loved ones. Impersonal love emphasizes personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ while setting aside the functions of personal love for friends or loved ones. You see, what is so great, point nine, what's so great about impersonal love for all, it never compromises your love for the living and true God, God the Father and Jesus Christ. Never. Impersonal love for all never compromises your love for God, God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Ten, mental separation is based on virtue love. Therefore, it is a separation which avoids all mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. You switch to impersonal love for all, and you love your loved ones, friends, with fantastic impersonal love for all, with fantastic virtue, honor, integrity. You have no mental attitude sins toward them. You have no sins of the tongue toward them. You never get involved in maligning them, judging them, hating them, criticizing them, seeking revenge on them, hurting them. And who is them? Those with whom you have been intimate in the past. So mental separation is based on virtue love. Therefore, it is separation which totally avoids all mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue toward these people. You have simply switched from personal love to impersonal love for all. And that means no mental attitude sins toward them, no sins of the tongue toward them. You just are totally relaxed. They might attack you. They might hate you. They might tell you that you're this or that or the other thing. And okay, fine. And I have a lot of people have told me that I'm a whole bunch of things. I can't even tell you all out here. For the dignity of the clergy, I can't tell you what a lot of people over the years have told me what I am. And I just look at them and smile, say thank you, and move on. That's impersonal love for all. 11. Mental separation not only emphasizes integrity and virtue and honor, but also it avoids the destruction of your spiritual life. It avoids the destruction of your spiritual life. You maintain spiritual momentum. You maintain spiritual growth. You keep on keeping on because of mental separation through impersonal love for all. So that's mental separation. That's a very, very, probably one of the most important parts in separation, mental separation. But there is also physical separation. And that's the next category, physical separation. And there is a time for physical separation. One, there are some cases where switching from personal love to impersonal love will not work. It just won't work. And then there must be physical separation. There are some cases where switching from personal love to impersonal love will not work, and therefore there must be physical separation. For example, point two, when a woman is being used as a punching bag by her husband, there must be physical separation. There must be physical separation. Now, if you've been in this church and learned consistently and faithfully the Word of God, you know a man never, ever hits a woman. Never hits a woman. Even my father, who as an unbeliever, he had establishment truth He was an unbeliever. He wasn't saved, but he had establishment truth. We had a home full of all boys and one girl. I tell you what, my dad protected my sister Judy and all of us. And one time, and my brother Dave, he was the youngest. He was the youngest that came along. In fact, after Dad had, he had all boys, and the doctor told Bill, Irma, you're never going to have a girl. You're just programmed to have boys, 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 but you're never going to have a girl. Well, then Judy came along, and I mean, my dad popped every button and smoked cigars and drank beer. And then Mom got pregnant en sant again, and my dad goes, how in the hell did that happen? And my mom said, well, if you don't know, I sure am not going to explain it to you. And then my brother Dave came along, the last one, the last of the Olsen-Heakins. And one time we're at dinner, and Dave came in, and we're all sitting at the table. My sister Judy came in last, and she had to go past Dave to get seated at the table. And my brother Dave, and he never got disciplined. He was the last one. I got disciplined for everything. If I just looked the wrong way, I got spanked, spanked, spanked. I got set on. I had to be potty trained when I was 3 days old. I had to be potty trained before all the rest of my brothers. I got pictures of me sitting on the toilet, sucking my nuck. Sitting there for hours, because I couldn't get off till I did something. Well, but not Dave. He got away with murder until Judy's trying to get by, and Dave goes, oh, here comes the hippo. I mean, my dad's hand came out. Boom! My youngest brother shook. Don't you ever talk to your sister that way. I mean, he didn't even hit her. He just called her a hippo. And she wasn't a hippo. She was something, but she wasn't a hippo. But all of us, if we ever hit Judy, it was the worst spanking we ever got. You never hit a woman. So when a woman is being used as a punching bag by her husband, there must be physical separation. 3. The most basic reason for physical separation is to avoid the compromise of the God-breathed scriptures. The most basic reason for physical separation is to avoid the compromise of the God-breathed scriptures. The Word of God, the absolute truth of the Word of God that you have learned and believed and is in your heart, you know what it is. So the most basic reason for physical separation is to avoid the compromise of the God-breathed scriptures. 4. Physical separation means to avoid any personal contact with a person under any circumstances. Physical separation means to avoid any personal contact with a person under any circumstances. 5. You regard that person as dead. 6. This means severance of all relations with that person of any kind. Severance of all relations with that person of any kind. 7. Physical separation many times is needed so that you can maintain your doctrinal priorities. Your doctrinal priorities. So you can maintain your spiritual momentum. So you can maintain your spiritual growth. So you can live the spiritual life. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. So physical separation is many times needed to maintain your doctrinal priorities. To use your volition to maintain your spiritual momentum and spiritual growth so you can keep on attending that sound Bible teaching church and keep on growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And keep on glorifying God to the maximum, because that's the only way you're going to fulfill the reason why you're here, to glorify God to the maximum. Point 3 now. The function of separation. Point 3, the function of separation. One, separation is a function of the believer living the unique spiritual life of the church age. That spiritual life that has been handed to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the very first one in human history who had it and lived it, and He gave it to us. And that spiritual life demands spiritual skills being fulfilled, demands the filling of the Spirit because it's a supernatural way of life. It demands the power of God, the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, demands the teaching ministry of the Spirit so you can grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. It demands grace perspicacity. It demands the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher combined with the teaching ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. Two, separation is not a function of the reversionist who is living in the cosmic system. He doesn't... Oh, there are reversionists who are living in the cosmic system, but what they are doing isn't separation. It's just the function of interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred and mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue, but that's not doctrinal or biblical separation. So separation is not a function of the reversionist living in the cosmic system. Three, in reversionism, you may separate from people, and in doing so, you may hate those people, have mental attitude sins toward those people, and sins of the tongue toward those people, and call them all kinds of things, and malign, and judge, and slander. But that's the worst thing you can ever do. That brings triple compound discipline. So in reversionism, you may separate from people and hate them, but you are not, I repeat, you are not practicing biblical separation as taught by the Word of God. In reversionism, you may separate from people and hate them, hate people, and judge, slander, and malign them, but you are not practicing biblical separation as taught by the Word of God. Four, all physical separation must be preceded by mental separation. All physical separation must be preceded by mental separation. Five, no one can apply the doctrine of separation unless he's living the spiritual life by the grace and the power of God. No one can apply the doctrine of separation unless he is living the spiritual life by the grace and the power of God. Six, true separation is impossible without the filling of the Holy Spirit. You must be empowered by the Spirit. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Walk by means of the Spirit. You will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. True separation is impossible without the filling of the Spirit and maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. Seven, true separation is impossible apart from maximum grace orientation and doctrinal orientation, fulfilling the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18. Grow up in the grace orientation, and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Turn over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. Well, that's the interlocking systems of arrogance. Very selfish, very self-centered. They will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. That's one of the major systems of idolatry. In America today, we worship at the idol of the almighty dollar. The almighty dollar. Everything is centered around the idol of the almighty dollar. Lovers of money, that's idolatry. Boastful, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Boy, is that all over? Disobedient to their parents. Ungrateful, unholy, with no virtue love. Unforgiving. They're unforgiving because there's no virtue love. When you have virtue love, you forgive as Christ forgave. You have impersonal love for all. You have virtue love. But there's no... Everyone's unforgiving. They don't forgive. They take something that you said or did, and I mean they hold that baby. Unforgiving. Because they have no virtue love. Slanderous. Without self-control, brutal, not lovers of divine good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, they go to church or a few times, once in a while, but denying its power. No spiritual life, no filling of the Spirit, but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brethren, fellow believers, to keep away from every brother, every fellow believer, who is idle. What is idle? Living an undisciplined life. They have no spiritual momentum. They have no spiritual growth. They do not attend a local church where they can grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. They are totally undisciplined and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. And then look at verse 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 14. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of him and do not associate with him. And then turn over to Romans 16. Romans 16. Romans 16, verse 17. I urge you, brethren, fellow believers, be on red alert. Be on red alert. You might have watch out. Be on red alert for those who cause division and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but they are serving their own emotions. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. That brings us to point four. Point four, separation is necessary because of cosmos diabolicus, Satan's cosmic system. Separation is necessary because of Satan's cosmic system, cosmos diabolicus. Turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1, I urge you, therefore, brethren, fellow believers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And stop being conformed to this cosmos, Satan's cosmic system, but keep on being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, you can't have a renewing of your mind if there's no longer assembling and consistent and faithful learning, believing the Word of God. Then there can't be any renewing of your mind. But keep on being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So, if you fail in the matter of separation, you will wind up living in Satan's cosmic system. You will be characterized as someone with interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. You will, in interlocking systems of arrogance, you think you're always right. Interlocking systems of hatred, you have mental attitude sins, sins of the tongue, slandering, judging, maligning others. You will think about self in terms of arrogance. The first prerequisite for proper separation is to have a good sense of humor. Have a good sense of humor. And as you are living the spiritual life, you will have a good sense of humor. You'll be able to laugh at yourself. And when somebody maligns you, slanders you, judges you, hates you, you have a good sense of humor. By switching from personal love to impersonal love, you get away from your illusions about people that you have loved in the past. Point five. Separation demands understanding true priorities. Separation demands understanding true priorities. Turn over to 1 John chapter 2. We studied this, and we're right at the end of 1 John, but we are at a very important doctrine, idolatry. That's the last verse in the epilogue of 1 John, the letter 1 John. 1 John 2. 1 John 2, starting at verse 15. Stop loving the cosmos. Stop loving Satan's cosmic system, nor the things in the cosmos, Satan's cosmic system. If anyone keeps on loving the cosmos, the cosmic system, then the love of God, virtue love, absolutely is not in him. It absolutely has not been brought to completion in his heart. That's 1 John 2:5. Because everything that is in the world, the cosmic system, the lust for the flesh, the sin nature, and the lust for the eyes, and the arrogant manner of life, absolutely is not from the Father, God the Father, but it is from the cosmic system. In fact, the world, the cosmos, is passing away, and all its lusts, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. 1 John 2:15 to 17. So, your doctrinal and true priority is this, to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill, and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. That's your true and doctrinal priority. This demands avoiding at all costs any prolonged stay in Satan's cosmic system. In other words, we all sin. Hell, I sin. But I keep short accounts with God. I don't stay in the cosmic system for days and days and days and weeks and months. I don't do it. I know when I sin, and I rebound right away. I rebound, acknowledge my sins to God. He forgives me. He cleanses me. I'm back into fellowship with God. I'm back in the filling of the Spirit. I'm back in the spiritual life. I sin. I do avoid, because of virtue love, I will not go to sins of the tongue. I will not go to judging others and slandering them. I will not go there. Now, I will still sin, but I rebound. I know when I sin. I rebound, and you rebound to God. You don't have to go to people and apologize. I was at Dallas Theological Seminary, and I was in my room. Another student knocked on the door. I opened the door. I said, "May I help you?" "Yes, I just wanted you to know that I hated you today." I said, "You hated me today?" I didn't even know who this guy was. "Yes, you walked past me and you didn't say hi." I said, you know what? I walked past my mother before and didn't say hi, but I didn't realize that she was going by. I was thinking about something. I said, I'm thinking about Hebrew class and Greek class, and I'm thinking about these things. And I walked by, there's 800 people here at Dallas Seminary. I walked by most of them and don't say hi. I said, he says, well, I hated you. I said, well, that's not a good sin. Hate, that's not a good one. But you don't confess your sins to me. I'm not God. You go to God and confess your sins to him. You need to go to him and acknowledge your sins to God, not to me. So you don't confess to people. You don't apologize to people. You don't rebound is not going to people. Rebound is acknowledging your sins to God in the privacy of your soul, and you're back in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit. Now, get up and move on. Get up and move on. Okay, you're going to sin, but you rebound, keep short accounts, get up and move on. But to rebound is not given to people unless those people are God. Now, if those people are God, and a lot of them might think that they are, then you don't confess to people. You confess to the living and true God. Keep short account. You will. The growing believer, advancing believer, you sin. You know when you sin. And you rebound, get up, move on. You just, no problem. And you get back into virtue, love, impersonal love for all, no matter what. And away you go. So this demands avoiding at all costs prolonged staying and living in Satan's cosmic system. So separation demands understanding true and doctrinal priorities. All right, there's the first 5 points of the doctrine of separation. We're getting cranked up, warmed up. Come back next week and we get to point 6. It's 6, not 666. 6. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.